88.5 FM KCSN and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org. Artist in Residence. Curated DJ sets from an 88.5 FM artist every Saturday at 6 with a new artist residency every month. 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
What's up, everybody? This is Simmel, and I'm back doing a DJ residency here on 88.5, the SoCal Sound. Every Saturday at 6 p.m. this month, I'll be playing songs that I love, sharing some stories, and most excitingly, a special guest. We've only got 1 hour, so let's jump right in. First up is one of my new songs off my new record. It's called Believer, here on 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
Hold me like I've been working on a cocktail called Grounds for Divorce. Whoa. Polishing a compass that I hold in my sleeve. Whoa. Down comes in on sticks, but then he kicks like a horse.
Hey, it's Simmel, your artist in residence this month at 88.5 The SoCal Sound. We just heard one of my favorite Elbow songs called Grounds for Divorce. And I picked that song because our special guest today is none other than the lead singer of Elbow, Mr. Guy Garvey. Guy and I met in 2019 backstage at Pinkpop in the Netherlands. We hit it off, but I did not expect to hit him up a couple years later to join me on a song on my new album, and he said yes. So I'm very, very honored to have him on the show today. Before we get to that interview, though, I wanted to play one of my favorite Beatles songs, a beloved tune called Golden Slumbers.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. As I do, and I never thought I'd feel this way, the way I feel about you. As soon as I wake up, any night, any day, I know that it's you I need.
Hey, it's Simmel, and I am this month's artist in residence here on the SoCal Sound. I just played a Lobby Seafray song called It Must Be Love, and wanted to let you know this station is listener supported. So if you like what you hear, subscribe tonight at thesocalsound.org. We're going to take a minute to thank some underwriters, but I'll be back in 1 second with the first part of my interview with Guy Garvey. Stay tuned.
This is what listener powered radio sounds like, the SoCal Sound.
Support for the SoCal Sound comes from Broadway and Hollywood.
Do you hear how people sing? Say, do you hear the distant drums? Les Miserables, the breathtaking production that leaves both audiences and critics awestruck. Les Miserables.
August 1st through September 10th at the Hollywood Pantages Theater, BroadwayInHollywood.com.
Support for the SoCal Sound comes from the Knitting Factory. For the first time in 13 years, Southern California has a new Knitting Factory branded live music venue, Knitting Factory NoHo, on the second floor of the historic Federal Bar in North Hollywood, on Lankershim in the NoHo Arts District. This all-ages venue has been refurbished and remodeled and is committed to supporting the community of artists. More information and the calendar of events can be found at noho.knittingfactory.com.
Support comes from Abramarama, presenting the new documentary, Have You Got It Yet?, about Pink Floyd's founding member, Syd Barrett, with interviews of all members of Pink Floyd, Pete Townsend, and others. The film's U.S. release, with a Q&A hosted by me, Andy Chandler, is showing at Limley Santa Monica July 21st and Limley North Hollywood on July 22nd. More information available at sidbarrettfilm.com.
Support comes from Levitt Foundation. Levitt National Tour presents an outdoor concert with Grammy-winning La Santa Cecilia. Visitors may enjoy an evening of cumbia, rock, bolero, and more. Saturday, July 22nd at Levitt Pavilion in MacArthur Park. Open to all, no tickets required. More at levittlosangeles.org.
Let's explore the eclectic range of melodies, sounds, and influences from the Latin music scene right here on the SoCal Sound, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. My name is Byron Gonzalez, the host of Bilingual Sounds, a nightly show where I showcase new music from up-and-coming musicians and lovable songs from established bands from all over Latin America, as well as the Latin community here in the States. Join me on Bilingual Sounds, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m.
You're listening to a DJ residency, an hour of hand-picked songs from a new artist every month, each Saturday night at 6. 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
Welcome back to 88.5 The SoCal Sound. This is Simmel, and here is Guy Garvey.
I'm so happy that you made time today. How are you? Everything good? You look like you're in your studio, which... looks lovely.
Oh yeah, I'm in my writing room in Brixton in a studio called The Dairy. Brixton is the end of the Victoria line and of course steeped in musical history, so you walk out of the doors here at The Dairy and you're confronted with every kind of madness you could possibly conceive, and Brixton has an amazing reputation for maintaining its own community. It's an African and Caribbean community here. It was the site of some famous riots in the 80s. Just to give you a little glimpse of the kind of place it is, the Starbucks in Brixton closed through lack of custom.
That's amazing.
Whereas the Brixton Blend, an independent coffee shop, is thriving.
How long have you been at that room?
Been in the room for 5.5 years, but we Elbow made a record here in 2002/3, and that way it was a very different place. We've been able to sort of mark the different ways that music is made over the last 25-30 years.
Yeah,
it was a big spaces, dedicated rooms, lots of money kicking about. We were in here for 6 months and I remember So Solid Crew, who were like a London-based hip-hop collective. They were working here and we couldn't believe how little equipment they were using. They were the first outfit we ever came across that was, everything was basically in the box in a computer.
Yeah.
And we were like, they've just got a mic and a computer and they're doing everything like that. You know, it was unheard of.
Yeah.
And then of course it's now broken up into project rooms, but a buzzing space, a really wonderful place.
All right. I've had something on my chest. I've been meaning to get off, to you. I was at last time I was in Manchester. This is a couple of months back, which you are a Mancunian. So the Temple Bar, or it's just called the Temple, right?
Yeah.
When was the last time you were there?
Monday.
Not long ago. We had a day off before the show, and I was like, all right, I've got a list of places I want to hit. I'd never been there. There was some like really heavy metal show in town, so like the streets were just sort of like buzzing with all these folks in their sort of the metal uniform that you wear if you're going to that show. So I walk up very confidently, and the security guard kind of gives me the once like look up and down. And I think I'm dressed quite nice. Like I'm just casual father is how I was dressed. And he just kind of did he was like, you can't come in here like that. And it was because I just had normal, trainers on, like normal. They're nice though. They weren't dirty. And it was like a Friday afternoon at like 3:00 and he would not let me in. I know.
You're kidding.
I know.
Well, that's just rude.
It was rude.
That place is begging for customers.
Well,
at 3:00 on a Friday afternoon.
That's what I figured. I wasn't going to meet any sort of like conflict or rush, but I did not meet the dress code. And for a former Victorian toilet, that is surprising.
Well, that was rude.
Yeah.
And I'll make some inquiries. That would not have happened on my watch.
Thank you. Let's see. Do you want to introduce? You picked a couple songs to play. I'd love to. Uh-huh. I just listened to them before we hopped on here. Do you want to introduce the first one, which I have as Day by Day?
Day by Day by Sizer Barker. My sister Becky, who has a slot on my radio program. I've had a show on the BBC on a Sunday for 16 years now. And my sister works on the program. And for fear, rightful fear of screams of nepotism on our public service broadcaster, I disguised the fact that she was my sister for about 10 years.
No way.
And she referred to her as the Beckopedia. her name's Becky. She's where I get a big chunk of my music taste, and she was always very encouraging to the band, and she still recommends music on my programme. And ahead of every tour we did in the early days, we'd meet up and she'd give me a cassette and then later a mini disc with a new compilation that she'd put on it. And we did this beautiful tour of universities / small venues up and down the country. It was probably like 7 weeks in total. And while doing that tour, this song by Sizer Barker was just beautiful. It was the feeling, it was the autumn through to the winter, and touring on a tour bus in those conditions, your bunk is warm and cosy, and you wake up to fresh, bright blue skies, and because of the age we were and the age of the people we were playing to, everything was about new and fresh and fun, and this song just captured the crispness of those, and the idea that this was my job at last. It was just, it's a very magical piece.
Yeah,
I love it.
Awesome. Well, here is Day by Day by Sizer Barker. Day by day, around my book of vows in the setting sun. Day by day.
the early work of an artist called Jane Weaver, who, like Elbow, is on her 10th studio album. In fact, she might be on more than that. She might be on 11th or 12th. But she's a Manchester artist that came up at the same time as us. That song reminds me of the Night and Day Cafe in Manchester, which is where Elbow came up. Mm. I remember sitting at the end of the bar there, my dear old friend Jan Oldenburg, who was an old Dutch gentleman. He just gave it over to the local kids, you know, and it was, that's where we did everything for 10 years and launched a lot of our careers. And the actor Benedict Wong was one of the crew there. The novelists Emma Runsworth and Gwen Riley, Doves, Elbow, Badly Drawn Boy, Jane Weaver, all of this stuff was crazy. Coming up around that time. Yeah, and that place was amazing. That song in particular, she was working with Andy Votel, who was, he had Twisted Nerve Records, which launched Badly Drawn Boy's career and did really beautiful sleeve work, vinyl-only record label. And just the buzz surrounding it was amazing. Just, it didn't really matter if your music wasn't to the liking of the guy next to you. The fact that you were doing something meant that you gave each other support. Mm. And it was the first time we felt our community. And Doves took us on our first UK tour as support, and then our first US tour. Mm. And Andy, in producing Gutter Girl, which is, I think it's just so soulful and heartfelt and broken. And Manchester was still dirty and dangerous at that time. And it seems to capture these drunken dramas in the gutter of the city. And she fell in love with Andy. They fell in love with each other when they were making that record. Mm. And they've got loads of kids, and they've been together ever since.
That's awesome.
And he still does all her sleeve work. And she's become this outrageous, amazing artist. So, again, it's another little nostalgic thing, but also an indicator of something that's still going on for me.
Yeah, lovely, man. Thanks for picking these. I think about your music, and I think about you know, the storytelling aspect of it and how you communicate to maybe who you're writing the song for or inspired by. I think about people who are no longer with us. Do you look for those people we've lost or you've lost in sounds and faces or people that you love that are still here? It's because it feels like in your songwriting, you're looking to that person that maybe that you've lost. How do you infuse loss and let it guide you in the writing process?
I haven't worked out what my beliefs are. I know I don't believe in a consciousness being transported somewhere else when they die. I think a person comes to an end in that respect. I think as long as there's people alive who remember a person, they live on in that way.
Yeah.
And then more complicated, if a person touches your life and changes who you are in even the subtlest way, they remain alive with you. And then you have, you know, we have this extraordinary opportunity to immortalize people by telling their story in a way that people can listen to forever.
Yeah.
The first person significant that I lost was my grandfather, but he was old and it was part of life that was necessarily expected. The first person where it felt like they'd been taken from us was my friend, also called Brian Glancy. And it rocked the world we lived in, the tight community I was talking about. I met him in the Night and Day Cafe, and there's a huge mosaic of him behind the bar there. He was extremely popular, a lovely, lovely man. And it was so strange. It rocked the whole community. We got busy, and things started moving for the band. Couples split up. People who'd always loved each other secretly got together.
Mm.
It's like the party stopped and everybody started being a little bit more grown up, you know?
Yeah.
My sister said something interesting, and of course this is a wild generalisation using old definitions, but she said, women realise their mortality in childbirth. Men realise their mortality when they lose a significant other.
Hmm.
And in those terms, I think it woke me up to, it both made me want to do more, And it made me want to record people more.
Mm.
And I started recording my dad talking, and I made a program out of his talking when he died. And I'm currently recording my mum's stories, which I recommend, actually. Everybody's got the tech in their pocket. They should just do that.
Yeah.
Because you will learn things you never have heard of. My mum's stories skate so hilariously close to tales of premarital sex. and then she realises where she's going and sort of scrapes back a bit. You know, but my mum was a cop. My mum was a policewoman in the 50s. And here's a story. To give you a portrait of a more innocent time, she once heard two colleagues having a frisson in a squad car out the back of the police station. And the old squad cars had a tannoy on the roof, and you could shout at people through the bullhorn, you know? And they'd left it on.
Ooh.
So they could be heard. And apparently all you could hear was the rustling of clothing and a woman's voice saying over and over, "Ooh, you daft bugger." Ooh, you daft bugger. So
amazing.
And this is the thing. No matter how well you know your parents, they tell stories with punchlines. They tell stories that they've told before. And if you start saying, "What's your earliest memory?" If you just start there, you're off to the races.
Yeah.
And you find out who they were. I didn't know my mum drove a scooter when she was a younger woman. And I've got five older sisters and a brother, and none of them knew she rode a scooter.
Wow.
And then we all realised it's because she didn't want any of us to ride.
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
but it was extraordinary. So I record people, and you're absolutely right. I look for people in the people that are alive that are related to them. I look for my father and my son.
Yeah.
And I see him all the time.
Yeah.
And the effect that my friend Brian had on his community was he always ended every phone call with the words, "Love you, mate."
Mm.
And amongst bluff northerners in the 90s, that was unusual.
Right.
And then when he died of a heroin overdose, tragically. But because he always ended his phone calls like that, I know it's the last thing he said to me. And I never don't say it to my friends now.
Yeah.
And they never don't say it to each other. And I put it in a song. And it was remarked on in the press that it was, you know, in 2008, it was an unusual thing to hear a man say. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's...
So Brian Glancy's blossoming, beautiful effect on the world.
That's beautiful, man. Well, I want to chat a little bit about the song that we got to do together, Lost Myself. And you know, we had met briefly, like I mentioned, but sending a song to somebody can be, as you know, it can either be just an echo out into nothing, or it can be, like it can come back to you. And in this case, you took the second verse and wrote lyrics. Do you remember, first hearing it? And then do you remember, were the lyrics like obvious to you? Like what you wanted to say? How'd it come?
It was such a beautiful song, and it was obviously heartfelt, and I could feel the first draft intact in there.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes you can lose what drives a song in the crafting of it, and I could hear that it had come from a very real place. The elements of the song where you sound lost, my natural reaction to it was to try and comfort you, you know?
Yeah.
And so I offered up these very simple images. I didn't go for any clever wordsmithery. I just thought, this is so honest and real and fresh and bright. And to be honest with you, you were asking me just to sing on it, and I didn't read your email properly. I immediately clicked the attachment, and I thought, oh, yeah, I've got it. So it was so generous of you to let me write the second verse.
Oh, no.
Because I don't believe that's what you were asking me to do in the first place.
Yeah.
But it was a very, very lovely thing to be invited to do. And I get a lot of offers, and... I always give it a bash, but more often not, you know, with a complete stranger, it's so rare that I feel I can bring anything to the party.
Yeah.
You know.
It's hard.
What you sang really resonated with me, and it was no surprise to me that we got on as well as we did when we met.
Here is Lost Myself featuring Guy Garvey.
Love is in the action, like a brace on a broken knee. Give me time and give me patience, that will be enough for me. Breaking through the clouds feels impossible now. Oh, breaking through the clouds feels impossible now. Oh, I think I lost myself.
I was truly free, like a bird at the mercy of a breeze, just trusting in the soul there, like a mother's love.
Breaking through the clouds on the corner again. Lippy kids on the corner begin settling like crows. Though I never perfected the simian stroke, cigarettes, and it was everything then. Do they know those days are golden? Build a rocket, boys. Build a rocket, boys.
hardly knew me at home anymore. Build a rocket, boys. Build a rocket. Kids on the corner again. Lippy kids on the corner begin settling like crows. And I never affected that simian stroll.
My first marriage, but I've reason to believe we've if I'd never noticed the way she brushed her hair from her forehead. And she said, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody sees you're blown apart. Everybody sees the wind blow. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. And my traveling companions are ghosts in empty sockets. I'm looking at ghosts and empties. Herself a human trampoline. Sometimes when I'm falling, flying, tumbling in turmoil, I say, whoa, so this is what she means. She means we're bouncing into Graceland. And I see losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody feels the wind blow. Ooh, in Graceland, Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. For reasons I cannot explain, there's some part of me wants to see Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love, every ending, or maybe there's no obligations now. Maybe I'm a reason.
Welcome back to 88.5, the SoCal Sound. Here's the last part of my chat with Guy Garvey.
The last thing I wanted to ask you is, I was listening to an interview with Paul Simon, who I'm a massive fan of, and
me too.
He was asked, do you ever worry that you're going to run out of things to say? Musically, are you going to run out of inspiration or ideas? And he was like so quick to be like, never. Like, I never worry about that, and I will never run out of ideas. When you're faced with that after this, you know, you're maybe not even to the midway point of your career, but you have done so much already. Do you ever wake up one day and think, have I had all my ideas? Are they all? Is it all downhill from now? Am I running out?
I think it's maybe something I used to worry about more. And then it's proved not to be the case. And even, I think, not being afraid to start in a familiar place is probably part of it. Like, I have times of my life and strong sort of changes on the paths that I've taken, or characters that I've written in that I tend to return to quite naturally. It's probably based as much on the music I love and the films I love and the books I like as it is my own life experience. But I go back to familiar territory quite a lot. You always take a different path. You always discover something different about what you're thinking. Maybe a turn of phrase will kick up an entirely different subject matter. Right. I mean, bizarre you should mention Paul Simon, because just this morning I was driving to school with my son and I put the best of Paul Simon on. And in one journey, Jack learnt what the Mississippi Delta was, what a national guitar was peculiar for, and where Elvis Presley lived. And in those three things, you know, I told him those at the beginning of the journey as we were listening to the song, just to try and bring it to life for him a bit. And then when I got to school, I was like, right, quick quiz. What's the Mississippi Delta? It's a river. What's peculiar about a national guitar? It's made of metal. and et cetera. It's where Elvis Presley lived. I mean, that story, if you're a father, you know, my travelling companion is 9 years old. He's the son of my first marriage. Is that the lyric?
Something like that, yeah. That's a great song. Gosh.
It's really, really kind of... And also with him, you have no idea if that's true.
Yeah.
You know, or whether he made that journey.
Yeah.
But the sympathy for the idea of a father and son thinking, I must make a pilgrimage to Elvis's home, and I'm not even sure why.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful.
Nah, that's cool. Love that, man. Hey, we're gonna hear some more music. And it's gonna take everything in me to not play every Elbow song, like just fill this whole hour with Elbow songs. But that would be a heavy hand.
You're lovely, man.
But hey, thank you so much for making time amidst your busy schedule, and I hope that we get to see each other very soon. Thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure to see you, my brother, and looking so well. Looking so handsome as always. Go get him, man.
All right, man.
And here is our final song tonight, the last song on my new album. The song is called Corduroy, and I hope you love it. Here on 88.5, The SoCal Sound.
We move.